Hello, my name is Marshall Rosenberg. Very glad to have this opportunity to share with you in this program some skills and some consciousness that have been extraordinarily helpful to me in my life, and I'm pleased to say that thousands of people around the world that I've shared it with find it helpful to them. So I'm glad to share it with you through this program. In this session, I'll be giving you an introduction to how I came about the process I'll be talking about, and I'll be sharing with you its purpose and give you an outline of it. The process I call nonviolent communication. I don't like that title, but why do I use it? Well, I use it because over the years it connects me with the people around the world that find our training very valuable in their lives and in their political activities. And so I have used it because it connects me with those people. But why I don't like the title, one of the reasons is the same reason that Gandhi didn't like the word nonviolent. It says what something isn't, but nonviolent communication is all focused on what we do want, not just what we don't want. Also, communication is only a small part of what I'll be sharing with you. Nonviolent communication consists of a value system that we are trying to live by, and then it outlines a language, thinking, communication skills, and means of influence that support that way of living. What I'd like to do now is give you an idea of how this process evolved. I would trace its onset to my family moving to Detroit in 1943, just in time for the race riots. My family moved into the center of where these race riots took place. This was quite an experience for me as a young boy at the time. It was an experience to sit in a house locked in for 4 days, not able to go out because of the violence in the streets, and to find out later that 30 people were killed in our neighborhood in just about a week. This stayed with me, that this is a world where people might want to hurt you because of your skin color. And when I went to school for the first time in Detroit, Michigan, I learned something else that was rather frightening to me as a young boy. I learned that my last name could be a stimulus for violence. The first day I was in class when the teacher read off the roll and said, "Marshall Rosenberg," and I raised my hand, two boys in front of me spun around and one of them said, "Are you a kike?" I had never heard that word until then, and I said, "What?" He said, "Are you a Jew?" And I said, "Yes." And he and his friend were waiting for me after I left school that day, waiting to beat me. So this was another lesson, that not only is this a world where people might want to harm you because of your skin color, but some people, hearing my name, wanted to hurt me. This instilled in me questions about, why is this? Why do people want to hurt one another? Simply because of their name, simply because of their skin color. At the same time, I had another powerful learning experience, quite a different one than to see the violence that was going on in the streets. I saw that violence isn't what we human beings are really about. I was fortunate enough to see people exercising compassion under difficult conditions. For example, my grandmother, with whom we lived, was paralyzed, and my mother was taking care of her. And each night, one of my uncles would come to help my mother take care of my grandmother, and I couldn't wait for him to get there. And I would watch as he took care of my grandmother, as he cleaned her up, gave her various medical treatments that she needed. What struck me is the whole time he was doing this, the beautiful smile on his face. Even though to me as a boy, it seemed that the work he was doing was not easy and it was difficult to clean up somebody and give them medications. The whole time he was doing it, he had such a beautiful smile on his face. So I saw this aspect of human beings who could enjoy contributing to other people's well-being. So two questions were in me from this time on and to this day. And these two questions are, what happens to people to lead them to enjoy other people's suffering and to make them want to contribute to other people's suffering? And then what happens to us human beings so that we stay with the process of compassion where we enjoy contributing to each other's well-being? I wanted to learn about that. I wanted to learn what contributes to the violence so I could do whatever I could to transform it, to prevent it. And I wanted to learn whatever I could about what helps human beings to stay connected to what I believe is our nature, our compassionate nature. And I wanted to do whatever I could to live that way myself and to distribute what I learned to others. When it came time to decide what I wanted to do in this world, I decided that I would go into psychology and study psychology. Why did I pick that? I thought that that subject would help me with those two questions of what contributes to people being violent and what kind of learning helps people to stay connected to their compassionate nature. So I went to the university with the idea of becoming a clinical psychologist. My thinking was then that people who are acting violent must have some kind of mental dysfunction, some kind of illness. So I would learn how to cure this illness.